Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by BlackRock Health, providing patients with world-class clinical care and comfort, enabling swifter recoveries.
But first this morning, my guest is one of the most enduringly recognisable names from film history, and she's still busy working at the age of 80. The star of films such as Get Carter alongside Michael Caine, and is one of the most famous Bond girls opposite Roger Moore in The Man with the Golden Gun, Britt Ekland was signed by 20th Century Fox, aged just 21. This week she was in London to attend a celebration marking the 50th anniversary of the iconic horror movie she starred in, The Wicker Man. And Britt joins me now from her home in Sweden, where she was both born and grew up. Good morning, Britt Ekland.
Good morning, Miriam, and good morning, Ireland, my favourite country.
Excellent. Now, listen, I gather you're in Sweden at the moment, are you? Where are you in Sweden, your country of birth, of course?
I'm very, very far out in the country at the end of the road, right by the sea. It's about 45 minutes outside Stockholm. It's sort of like the Howth of Dublin.
Great. We'll all understand that, Britt.
Yes.
Listen, I saw this week in London that they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of your film, of course, The Wicker Man, which has become an iconic horror movie. Did you enjoy that celebration?
I was kind of dreading it because it was not an easy film for me to make, and there were certain problems through the shooting and the making of the film and the promotion of the film, which I didn't. But I had a great time. The film is brilliant, and I was treated like a queen. And so I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed getting back into London. I haven't been back for 2 years.
Great. And when you were saying, when you made that, I suppose you were only about 30, Britt. Did you enjoy making it at that time, or was it tricky, as you said?
I was 29. And, you know, my agent just said, oh, we have this offer for you. It's a low budget film and it's not a lot of money. But, you know, I'm an actress. And if the script is OK, you do it. So I took the script and I went up to Newton Stewart in northwest of Scotland. Well, southwest it's really. And it was hard to imagine at the time that it was just a very, very small village and then moors. Miles and miles and miles, and that's what the film was about, wandering in processions across the moors in October, November, pretending that it was high summer.
So everyone was probably extremely cold.
Very cold, but we had to look hot and we had to look comfortable because this was an island in the middle of the ocean, you know, a beautiful, beautiful landscape. So you had to feel that with your whole body and your face. And then, of course, in the middle of shooting, or I don't know when exactly, but I discovered that my skirt was getting tighter and tighter. And it certainly wasn't the catering, because that wasn't fabuloso. So I had a day off. I went down to London on the night train, and my doctor took a pregnancy test. And he told me, congratulations, you're pregnant. So with that, I had to go back up. And of course, I couldn't tell anyone. So it was, you know, I had to carry this secret through the rest of the shooting, and a long time, actually. But I never thought it was 50 years until my son told me about a month ago. He said, Mom, you know, it's my 50th birthday, the 10th of June. And I said, oh, my God, are you? you know, you never think of your children going over 40 something. But so that's how I know that the Wicker Man was also 50.
Well, and you're still working hard, reading up for this interview this morning, Britt. You constantly work. Where does your work ethic come from?
We were always encouraged to work as children. I grew up in a kind of looking well-to-do family, but my father wasn't wealthy, but he lived a wealthy life. My mother was a housewife, and we had all the holidays that you are meant to have. And we went skiing in the winter and went to the West Coast in the summer. I went to to Lausanne in Switzerland when I was 16 to enroll in a summer course in French in the university. So I sort of grew up doing all the things that a well-educated Swedish girl would do.
And I gather, Britt, that, is this correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you weren't especially fond of your father, but you did love your mother. Is that right?
Well, I loved my father until I was about 16, when I discovered him one day in a park in Stockholm with another woman. But, you know, the idea of your father being in a park with another woman was so shocking to me that I started to dislike him.
Did you ever forgive him?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And, you know, then, I mean, after he died and we went through his correspondence and things like that, then, you know, he did have a lot of mistresses. You know, they wrote him. He was very smart because they were all married. So they couldn't get pregnant or anything like that. And he was very popular amongst the women. He was a great sort of 40s, 50s type man, like, you know, like Gregory Peck or, you know, man of the world.
And what was your mother like, Britt?
My mother came from the north of Sweden. She had dark hair and very bright blue eyes. I mean, she was the perfect mother. And I could never, never be like her. I didn't try to. But then 2 years ago, or just before COVID, I did a play in England, and I played the housekeeper, an aging housekeeper. And I just made myself look exactly like my mom with a gray wig. And all my friends and my relatives said, "Oh, my God, you are your mother." I said, "Yep, that I am."
So how, Britt, did your career begin? Remind me, was it first as a model? Did you begin as a model?
No, I am far too fluffy and short to be a model. You know what I mean, fluffy. To be a model, you've got to be tall and thin. No, I was like a little cream puff. No, I started in Sweden when I was still in school. They sent me to do an audition for toothpaste. So basically, you just went in there and opened your mouth and smiled. You know, they show me like a horse, you know, show me your teeth. And I got it. I did toothpaste and I did a commercial for mineral water. And you know where these commercials went? We didn't have television. You went to the cinema and you sat down and waiting for the film to start, these commercials were shown there.
Of course.
So it was not for TV or even newspapers. It was just for the cinema. So that's my first start. And when I finished school, I went to drama school for 2 years. And then I went out with a theater company for about 9 months. And then I was offered a movie by an Italian producer. And I went to Rome. And this was in September, the year before I turned 21. And I'm sitting on Via Veneto drinking coffee with a cappuccino, actually. We never drank coffee. With an American friend. And the man came up and said, "Would you like to do a screen test for 20th Century Fox, a contract?" So, guess what my answer was?
Yes.
And so that's how I started.
And I mean, you starred in incredibly successful movies, Britt, like Get Carter with Michael Caine, the Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun with Roger Moore. Wasn't that an incredibly exciting time for you? Did you love being in films?
Yes, I loved movies. Mostly I loved cowboy movies. In Sweden, I always went to see cowboy movies. But I had a great time. The Bond film, I'd seen Ursula Andress in Dr. No, and I said, "Oh, I can do that." It wasn't that she was, you know, just pretty, but she looked great, and she was, of course, beautiful. But she was also useful, you know. She was fighting and out there supporting him and fighting with him and not just, you know, laying on the beach. And So, of course, when they announced that they were doing a new Bond film, I read the book, The Man with the Golden Gun, and I went to see Cubby Broccoli. He had an office in South Audley Street, just around the corner where I lived. And I said, you know, I'd like to be Mary Goodnight. And he said to me, well, you know, we take the titles and then we write the script and it's, you know, it's not ready. And thank you very much. And I was already quite a known actor. So I had easy access to him, you know, to just go in there. And on the way out, I met Roger Moore, whom I had met many years previously when I was married to Peter Sellers. So we just shook hands and I left. And then I got on a plane and went to Hollywood to make another movie. And 6 weeks later, I'm on the plane back to London. And I went back and my agent called me and said, Cubby Broccoli wants to see you. So I thought, oh, he's just going to... No, I'm sitting on the plane and I'm reading, you know, the Mail or the Express. We used to have proper papers in those days. Mm. And it said, Swedish actress, the new Bond girl. And I thought, oh, goody, goody, I got it. And then I read the name. It wasn't my name. It was Maud Adams. And so when I landed, my agent said, you've got to go and see Cubby Broccoli now. And I thought, oh, well, he's just going to apologize that Maud got the role. And I didn't. And he just opened his doors to me and he came and he had a script in his hand and said, you are Mary Goodnight. And that was it.
That's wonderful.
I gather
Roger Moore, Brit, was the perfect gentleman. Is that correct?
He was. He was a gorgeous man to look at. Not my type. I'm not so fond of blonde men. You know, it reminds me of my upbringing. But he was polite, fun, cheeky, always ready to help you, support you, always had a joke with you. You know, sometimes when you work, I don't know if other people feel the same or other actresses, but you kind of feel a little intimidated sometimes, you know, that, oh, God, he's such a big star. And even if you're an actress and known yourself, you kind of think, oh. But no, he just made you really comfortable. And we stayed friends until he passed.
Does it annoy you, I was thinking, Brit, even a little, just reading about you for so much of your career, the men in your life were spoken about almost as much as your great film roles?
No, it comes with the package. Mm. You know, if I had only ever, let's say, I had only ever had an affair with Mr. Smith and Mr. Johnson and, you know, I don't think anyone would be the slightest interested, but I didn't. The men that I had relationships with, they were all famous. Mm. So that's something that you just have to live with.
When you look back now, I don't know if you do, you were only 21 when I think you married Peter Sellers. He was 17 years old, which when you're 21 is a lot. That would probably, Brit, be frowned upon today because you were so young. Do you ever reflect on that or do you bother?
You know, older men don't always marry them, but want younger women. And you read about it every single day. I mean, I think Murdoch is the perfect example of an older man wanting younger women. But no. Because, you see, much later, I married a man who was 17 younger than me. So, you know, it goes both ways.
Fair enough. Do you look back with fondness on Peter Sellers? I mean, he was obviously a genius. You were very young. He probably, watching documentaries even since I saw one you were in last night, Brit, he wasn't that easy to live with, was he? Even though he was a genius.
No, I had a very traumatic time. And I think the only reason I lasted as long as I did is because I was so young. Mm. If I had been in my mid-20s, I wouldn't have gone there, you know what I mean, in the first place. To marry after 10 days is the worst stupidity. And it's surprising that it lasted as long as it did. But he was a very tortured man. And I didn't know that when I married him. I found out literally the day after we married, but not the day before.
Yeah, because I know, I think he saw you, didn't he? Fell in love with you and decided he was going to marry you after 10 days of meeting you, which is, as you say, not very long, Britt.
No, and it's not very smart because you have to remember, I came from Sweden and I'd never lived with anyone. I never had a roommate or anything like that, or I never lived with another man. So it was kind of revolutionary for me to just one day wake up in a house with a husband. But I was very much in love, believe it or not.
I was wondering, Britt, when I was going to talk to you this morning, did you experience any Me Too moments during your career? I mean, obviously, it's a huge issue now, all about Hollywood and everywhere in the world. But did you experience Me Too moments?
I don't know. I looked probably so very, very young and innocent that I think, you know, people flirted, but really nothing more than that. And also, I think because I was married to Peter Sellers and because I was looking even younger than I was, and I had children, and I mean, no, it happened. I knew it happened all the time. But I wasn't attacked in that way, no.
Okay. You constantly reinvent yourself. As I said earlier, you work incredibly hard. I saw you in that great BBC series, for instance, The Real Marigold Hotel. You do lots of plays as well. You clearly still love doing what you do.
Oh, I love working. You know, I'm an actress, but I'm also an entertainer. And nothing makes me happier than if I can entertain people, if I can make them laugh or even, you know, smile and nod. And I'm lucky in as much as my brain still works pretty fast, even though maybe my body doesn't work as fast anymore, and that's a bit annoying. But no, I do love to entertain, and I love people. I love to perform. That's what I do. I don't know how to do anything else.
Well, maybe that's the secret to your, I was reading a lot of stuff last night, youthfulness. You look great. You're very positive. Do you think that's partly because of your attitude to life and the fact that you like to continue working and staying very active? Do you think that helps to do that?
I think that's very, very, very important. A lot of people have put money away and they now have their pension and they end up in their sweats, you know, slippers, floppy pants, no bra, you know, and coffee and cake or tea and cake. And you have to keep, you know, as you get older, you have to keep mobile. You have to be able to get off the floor without help. Without a chair around. You've got to stand up out of a chair without touching the sides or touching anything. You know, there's certain rules that you have to put into your life, and you have to be able to talk to people and enjoy people. You've got to be able to think fast. And I think a lot of people retire and don't really, really enjoy it, because I think people generally want to have contact with other people. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Listen, yesterday, King Charles had his coronation. I know in the past you knew him, didn't you, Britt? How did that come about?
Well, I first met him when he was Prince Charles and he was about 16 and or maybe younger. I'm not quite sure. And I was married to Peter Sellers, and he was a great Goon fan. And for those who don't know about the Goons, you have to Google. But it was Spike Milligan and Harry Secombe, and they had this radio show, And it was incredibly popular. And Peter Sellers did this. They all did these incredibly stupid, in my mind, voices. You know, little mean, yeah, little mean, like that. And anyway, he wanted to meet the goons. And it was arranged that he would come to Elsted, Surrey, where we lived. We had a very small kind of cottage. And they came out and I said hello. And then, you know, I retired away somewhere and they had lunch and spent the day together. I don't know what they did because I wasn't there. But I have a photo of it and it's on my Instagram page. And that's the first time I met him. And then, of course, in the 90s, when I moved back to England, I did, you know, work with the Prince's Trust. So I met him many times. And he was a very, very lovely and nice and kind and easy to converse with Prince in those days.
Brit, when you look back as we close on your career and your life so far, do you feel happy? Do you feel content with how things have panned out for you so far?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm 80 and I'm still here. and you still want to talk to me. So I must have done something right. You know, of course you wish certain things had gone differently, but they didn't. And I look forward to working more. And so far, yes, I would say, yes, I'm quite content.
Well, Brit Eklund, I know you often visit this country. Come back soon. And it was a real privilege for me to speak to you today. Thank you for being so lovely.
Thank you, Miriam, and I will. I love Ireland. I love Dublin. I love my friends I have there. And so, yeah, I'll come back.
Thanks so much, Brit. Mind yourself.
Thank you. Bye, Miriam.
Take care.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
You can also text anytime to 51551. Lots of nice reaction to Brit. One I'll definitely bring from Tom in Rathfarnham says, my friend Justin Malone is a young man working in London one day, had to go to do a job in a house near Stamford Bridge, near Chelsea Football Ground. The lady in the house turned out to be Brit Eklund. He said she was so nice and pleasant, made him a cup of tea and said he should call again if he was ever in the neighbourhood. Such a wonderful lady. Nice story there, Tom.